Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 26, 2021. Coming up this hour,
lawmakers on Capitol Hill move forward with Donald Trump's impeachment trial.
Mitch McConnell agrees to a power-sharing deal in the Senate.
President Biden continues his push for a stimulus deal as the timeline for a plan moves to March.
And Janet Yellen wins historic confirmation to become Treasury Secretary.
Governor Cuomo says New York can ease COVID rules as the holiday spike ends. Plus, thousands of National Guard troops will stay in D.C. through mid-March. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets again beat the Heat, and in a rare occurrence, a trade between the Yankees and Red Sox.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way. Innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more.
And futures are falling this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 7 points. Dow futures down 18. NASDAQ futures down 41. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. CAC in Paris up 0.9%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 2.6%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32nds, yield 1.04%. Yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 30 cents at $53.06 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.33%. And this data check brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in D.C., where senators will be sworn in today as jurors in Donald Trump's impeachment trial. That's after a House delegation delivered the article to the chamber last night. The current timeline calls for a trial to start in 2 weeks. Bloomberg's Laura Davison explains why.
Republican leader Mitch McConnell said he wanted to give Trump some time to prepare a legal defense and assemble a legal team. Meanwhile, Democrats looked at the calendar and said, look, we really actually want to give Joe Biden some time to start to move on his agenda to get his cabinet members approved and also start looking at an economic stimulus plan.
And as former President Trump awaits the start of the trial, he's opened an office in Florida to, quote, advance the interests of the United States and to carry on the agenda. That announcement came less than an hour before lawmakers transferred the article of impeachment.
As the Senate prepares for a flood of confirmation hearings in that impeachment trial, GOP and Democratic leaders have reached a deal. Republican leader Mitch McConnell has agreed to a power-sharing arrangement allowing Democrats to take control of key Senate committees. Amy Morris has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
McConnell backed off a key demand, the filibuster, which was holding up a deal on power-sharing in the Senate. He wanted a pledge from the Democrats that they would not eliminate the filibuster, which allows the minority party to block legislation. While the Democrats did not agree, McConnell says he did get assurances from Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, which were enough. McConnell says the Senate's last power-sharing agreement in 2001 included the filibuster, and he believes the current deal will be modeled on that precedent. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Negotiations over President Biden's stimulus package are front and center. The president says he's willing to negotiate on the $1.9 trillion measure, but he's not ruling out a move to bypass Republicans.
I think there is a growing consensus. Whether we get it all done exactly the way I want it remains to be seen. But I'm confident that we can work our way through.
Republicans take issue with the price of the bill after spending $900 billion on last month's relief. We spoke with Republican Representative Brian Stile of Wisconsin.
That's a big price tag that the Biden administration has put on the table out of the gates. I think what we're going to need to do is look and say, how can we tailor that to help people who've been negatively impacted through coronavirus, through no fault of their own, without providing broad brushstrokes of relief that just burden taxpayers in the long run.
Congressman Stile was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. When it comes to a timeline for a stimulus package, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants to pass a measure by mid-March. That's when jobless benefits from the current bill run out.
Meantime, Janet Yellen has won Senate approval to become Treasury Secretary as the Biden administration faces that uphill battle in stimulus talks. Bloomberg's Karen Chase has more on the confirmation.
The Senate vote was overwhelming, 84 to 15, to approve Yellen, the first woman to become Treasury Secretary and a key backer of President Biden's economic stimulus plan. During her confirmation hearings, she urged senators to move swiftly on a bold package, saying the smartest thing we can do is act big. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Karen. Now, when it comes to the pandemic, more states are easing restrictions, even as deadly mutations emerge. Let's get an update now on this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Nathan, California Governor Gavin Newsom is lifting that state's stay-at-home order. New York, Illinois, Michigan, and Massachusetts are also easing restrictions. New infections and hospitalizations are declining, but we're not out of the woods yet. New variants of the virus are setting off alarms. There's a mutation in the UK, another in California, and a Brazilian one first identified in the US yesterday in Minnesota. Critics say we'll go backwards by easing restrictions. On the vaccine front, President Biden anticipates shots will be available to everyone by spring. So far, the U.S. has given 23.5 million shots, and you can get more of the effort from our vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to international relations. Now, the Biden administration said it'll use a, quote, patient approach with China. And White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the president will enlist allies to take on Beijing.
We're going to have consultations with our allies. We're going to have consultations with Democrats and Republicans. And we're going to allow the interagency process to work its way through to review and assess how we should move forward with our relationship.
The Biden administration plans a review of measures, including trade tariffs and the delisting of certain Chinese companies put in place by President Trump. The move comes as tensions brew over relations with Taiwan.
And a program note, tune in later today for an interview with Phil Murphy. The New Jersey governor will sit down for a conversation with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. It's coming up at noon, Wall Street time.
And futures are lower. S&P futures down 6.5 points. Dow futures down 8. NASDAQ futures down 40. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 27 cents at $53.04 a barrel. The euro 1.2130 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have a check of your local headlines as well as sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York is in a better place after the post-holiday spike in COVID-19 and can begin to loosen restrictions and increase economic activity. Cuomo says elective surgeries can resume in Erie County and more adjustments will be made over the next couple of days. Cuomo also says, though, while residents need to get on with life, be smart.
Don't get cocky with COVID. This virus has been ahead of us every step of the way. You know there are certain things to do that are smart.
As for indoor dining reopening in New York City, Cuomo says they are not contemplating any changes for now. COVID-19 vaccines are getting tougher to get for many Americans who are eligible. The scarcity is forcing many mega sites to cancel appointments, and some online forms are banning people from signing up. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio says about 600,000 vaccines have been administered since mid-December. However,
we have a supply problem, and we have a flexibility problem, because we can't access second doses that are being held in reserve for weeks ahead and use them now as first doses where there's such intense demand.
De Blasio says he is confident the vaccine supply will increase due to conversations he has had with President Biden's campaign. The threats and concerns about armed protesters returning to the Capitol have prompted federal law enforcement officials to insist that thousands of National Guard troops remain in Washington in the coming weeks. General Daniel Hokanson thanked the outpouring of support from local restaurants donating food for our heroes.
Over the past week, I've received multiple phone calls from President Biden, members of our congressional delegations, and military service organizations expressing their thanks to the incredible soldiers and airmen who have left their employers and their families to serve their nation.
Troop levels will be drawn down from 7,000 to more than 5,000 and will remain there through mid-March. A federal bankruptcy court judge approved a liquidation plan for disgraced producer Harvey Weinstein's studio. The plan calls for a $17 million payout to several dozen of Weinstein's victims. Weinstein is currently jailed in Western New York following a sex crimes conviction in Manhattan. A former aide to ex-New Jersey Governor Chris Christie during the Bridgegate scandal is running for office. Bridget Ann Kelly, who was convicted in the scandal, says she's running for the Republican nomination for Bergen County Clerk. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street. John Stanshire has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Game number three with the big three after they all lost in Cleveland. Now back-to-back home wins over Miami when the Nets had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden all playing together. This one 98-85 over the struggling Heat, who really missed Jimmy Butler. They've now lost six of the last eight. Durant shot only 6 of 21. Kyrie was 6 of 17, but the Nets pulled away in the fourth quarter, outscoring Miami 28-14. The Knicks finished their road trip tonight in Utah. That won't be easy since the Jazz lost to the Knicks. They've won eight in a row. College hoops, Virginia easily over Syracuse to stay unbeaten in the ACC. A trade between the Yankees and Red Sox, not quite as big as the one more than a century ago. That one involved Babe Ruth. This one involved reliever Adam Ottavino. His ERA in 2019 was under 2. This past season, it ballooned to nearly 6. The Red Sox will send the Yanks a player to be named later. The baseball players rejected MLB's plan to continue using the DH in the National League and expanding the playoffs. Both were used in the shortened season. Spring training scheduled to begin as usual next month, but COVID cases very high right now in Arizona, and the Cactus League has urged MLB to put off the start of spring training. Start of preparation for Super Bowl 55. The Chiefs will be without their best offensive lineman, Eric Fisher. He just suffered a torn Achilles. Kansas City coach Andy Reid asked about Tom Brady.
He's playing at an extremely high level, and for somebody his age, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable for a 25-year-old to be doing what he's doing, let alone a 43-year-old.
This will be a different Super Bowl. Tampa Bay playing at home, and the Chiefs won't arrive until the day before the game. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 4 points. Dow futures have turned around and are in the green right now, up 12. NASDAQ futures still lower, down 35 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Winter weather advisory from 7 to midnight, up to an inch of light snow. Changes to rain this afternoon. Highs near 35. Probably mostly cloudy near 40 tomorrow. Morning snow Thursday, then mostly sunny, breezy, and low 30s. 33 degrees right now.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Mars, Moscow. Markets are mixed this morning, and futures are trimming their declines. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3 points now. Dow futures have turned higher. They're up 15. And NASDAQ futures are down about 30. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.04%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8%, up 42 cents at $53.19 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $4.50 at $18.54.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.2137 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3669. And the yen, 103.79. And we are watching for earnings this morning. We'll be hearing from companies including Microsoft, GE, and American Express. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a delegation of House Democrats poised to become prosecutors made the ceremonial march across the Capitol last night to deliver a single article of impeachment to the Senate against former President Donald Trump. Trump is the first U.S. president to have been impeached twice and will be the first to be tried after leaving office. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell said he is dropping a key demand and is ready to move toward a power-sharing agreement after two Democratic senators pledged they won't do away with the filibuster. The rule requires a 60-vote threshold to advance most legislation. In the NBA, the Nets, Celtics, and Warriors all won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we want to get more now on the coronavirus vaccination effort, particularly against these faster-spreading variants showing up more and more in this country. Dr. Stuart Ray is with us once again, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. First off, Doctor, it's great to have you back on with us. Can you give us an update on how conditions are in your hospital system and in other hospital systems as far as you can see them?
Good morning, Nathan. And it's still coming pretty fast on us. We have a plateau of of deaths that we hope we'll see starting to drop with the drop from the peak of cases post-holiday gathering. So we're starting to see some leveling off, and we're hoping to see some drop. I think the concern is we're all seeing some of these new variants appear. We are seeing some of these in our health system as well. So there's still warning signs that we have more to come.
What indicators are you looking at to make sure whether these variants won't bring the curve back up in a direction that no one wants to see?
Well, we see in many places when these variants appear that the number of cases are rising, and that may be because these are more infectious. And so I think we can think of it like an interest rate. And if where we were in terms of infectivity increases by 30%, it's like having your compounded interest rate increase by 30%. It results in a big growth because there's exponential compounding of those rates. So we think that the precautions that we take, for instance, masks, distancing, reducing large gatherings, need to be taken ever more seriously when the variants are more infectious.
Now, we hear some of this advice around double masking now against some of these faster spreading variants. Is that something that would actually be more effective? Is that something that you suggest as something that people should take on more systematically?
I think it's a good idea for people to look at the masks they're using and ask whether they are the ones that are being recommended. You know, it's multi-layer masks, non-woven materials, not just cotton fiber, single-layer masks. I think when you have a really high-quality mask, some of these KN95s or KF94s, they may suffice. You know, the mask you wear needs to be one you can be comfortable wearing. And if you can't breathe, or if you're breathing around it, then it's not going to be effective. So I think the big thing is to make sure it's a high-quality mask. If you can tolerate and are comfortable in a double mask, then that's probably a more effective filter. But I think the important thing is to make sure that you have high-quality masks.
Do you have any concern that some of the vaccines that are already in use now will start to lose their effectiveness against these new variants, and about supply issues surrounding vaccine right now?
Well, you know, I think the good thing is that the immune system, in response to a vaccine, makes a very complex response, many different antibodies as well as T-cell assays or T-cell responses that we can't really measure right now. So it is true that some of the variants look like they may be more infectious than the baseline virus against what the immune responses would elicit. We don't think that this will cause vaccine failure. I think it is a trend, though, that we should be watching, because if we don't get spread under control, evolution will continue to select for variants that can evade the vaccine. Now, the vaccine supply is a concern, and I think we're hearing much more transparency from the CDC and from national leadership about supply problems, and they're working hard to address these. It's hard to turn that boat around quickly, but I do think that there's some deliberate efforts and coherence in message now.
As we're starting to see some of these variants crop up more and more, we're also starting to see hotspot states like California and New York begin to ease restrictions somewhat. California is lifting stay-at-home orders, New York allowing more elective surgeries in some places. Are these the kind of measures that make sense at this point in the pandemic?
Well, I think that the allowance for elective surgeries probably has to do with capacity in hospitals, and so that's probably a good sign that those hospitals are seeing that they have the space to deal with elective surgeries and the ICU space that you have to have just in case things get complicated for a patient. I think the relaxing of restrictions is a measure of pandemic fatigue to a certain extent. And while the curve may be bending down in California, I think there is the risk that it'll go upward again. But if people were to take this basic precautions really seriously and consistently, that might work. So I think it's something that has happened in places and worked, but I think it is a risk, and we have to just redouble efforts on an individual basis.
Thank you, as always, Doctor, for your insights and for joining us this morning. Dr. Stuart Ray is Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. So far in the U.S., about 23.5 million coronavirus vaccine shots have been administered. You can keep track of the effort through the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It's online at Bloomberg.com. And in the time we have, I want to pass along some earnings just crossed the Bloomberg terminal moments ago. GE is reporting fourth quarter revenue that met the average analyst estimate. We'll have much more on that in the minutes ahead here on Bloomberg Daybreak. In the meantime, seeing mixed action in the futures markets. S&P futures right now down 3 points. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures down 30. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. senators will be sworn in today as jurors in Donald Trump's impeachment trial. That's after a House delegation delivered the article to the chamber last night. The current timeline calls for a trial to start in 2 weeks and threatens to slow other moves in the Senate. We get more from Bloomberg's Laura Davison.
During the impeachment trial, the senators have to physically be there on the Senate floor listening to the arguments. So that means there can't be hearings. There can't be meetings going on. Secondly, this is likely to really inflame some partisan tensions here. You have a lot of Republicans saying that this is pointless, where Democrats really need Republicans to work with them on the stimulus bill.
As former President Trump awaits the start of the trial, he's opened an office in Florida to, quote, advance the interests of the United States and to carry on the agenda. The announcement came less than an hour before lawmakers transferred the article of impeachment.
Negotiations over President Biden's stimulus package are front and center. The president says he is willing to negotiate on the $1.9 trillion measure, but isn't ruling out a move to bypass Republicans.
Time is of the essence. And I must tell you, I'm reluctant to cherry pick and take out one or two items here and then have to go through it again.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is aiming to pass a stimulus measure by mid-March when jobless benefits from the last bill run out.
Meantime, GOP leader Mitch McConnell has agreed to a power-sharing deal in the Senate. The agreement allows Democrats to take control of key committees after McConnell backed off a demand to keep the filibuster. McConnell says he received assurances from two Democratic senators, and that was enough.
All right, turning to the pandemic now. We're seeing more states relax virus restrictions, but there are worries it may be too soon. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. John?
And Nathan, California, New York, Massachusetts, and other states are loosening COVID restrictions just as scientists warn that more contagious variants of the virus are beginning to take hold. While new cases and hospitalizations are declining, the new variants may be more transmissible. Separately, President Biden says he anticipates that vaccines will be available to everyone in the nation by spring. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And earnings continued across the Bloomberg. We're hearing from 3M. Its fourth quarter profit beating analyst estimates, and its outlook for the year also beat. And again, we are watching shares of GE. It had a major beat on industrial free cash flow of $4.4 billion in the fourth quarter, although fourth quarter profit did miss analyst estimates. Still, its shares moving higher in the early trade. They're up 5%. S&P futures are down 2 points, trimming their declines. Dow futures up 29. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. New York has seen signs of a possible turnaround in the fight against COVID. Statewide, the number of new infections has dropped steadily over the past 2 weeks. Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's lifting a ban on elective surgeries at some hospitals in western New York. He said he plans to announce other changes soon to the state's COVID-19 restrictions in several parts of the state.
This is unsustainable, this situation that we're in. It was never a choice between public health and reopening the economy. You have to do both, but you have to do it intelligently.
As for indoor dining reopening in New York City, Cuomo says they are not contemplating any changes for now. The scarcity of COVID-19 vaccines has forced several mega sites to cancel appointments. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says about 600,000 vaccines have been administered since mid-December, but the city has the capacity to administer close to that same amount per day.
We're not going to be able to soar until we get more supply and more flexibility. When we get that, in the month of February, we'll be at a 500,000 a week rate.
Thousands of National Guard members are going to remain in D.C. Acting Army Secretary John Whitley says troop levels will be whittled down from currently 15,000.
As we continue to work to meet post-inauguration requirements, the National Guard has been requested to continue supporting federal law enforcement agencies with about 7,000 personnel for the coming weeks.
Whitley says that the troops will then be at more than 5,000 in Washington, at least through mid-March. The Supreme Court says it won't take up the case of former Democratic New York Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. He is serving a 6.5-year prison sentence after being convicted in a corruption case. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says more federal aid for mass transit is likely to flow into the New York City region. The Democratic senator from New York told public transportation advocates mass transit systems are poised to benefit from Democratic control of Congress and the Biden administration. That includes unlocking $12 billion to build a new rail tunnel linking New York and New Jersey through the Hudson River. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stanshauer is back with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Miami Heat won the East last season, the Nets, with hopes of winning it this year. Two teams just played two games in Brooklyn. The Nets won them both last night, 98-85. A night where Kevin Durant shot only 6 of 21. He still had 20 points, 13 rebounds. The Heat this season just 6-10. Upset in the East, Detroit beat Philadelphia, who gave its star center Joel Embiid the night off. The Lakers are now 10-0 on the road. They won it in Cleveland, so LeBron James was back home. He scored 46 points, 21 in the fourth quarter. The NBA certainly dealing with COVID. Two more games postponed last night. San Antonio and New Orleans just 2 hours before tip-off. Neither team had the necessary 8 players available. The Clippers will play tonight without their 2 stars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, both due to COVID protocol. And yet the NBA wants to have an all-star game. Early March in Atlanta, it would be scaled back from what it usually is. Tom Brady Sr. revealed to ESPN that both he and his wife, both 76, both had COVID, that he was hospitalized for 3 weeks, and that weighed heavily on their son, who's getting ready for his 10th Super Bowl. Tampa Bay coach Bruce Arians gets to play it at home.
I think the big advantage is, you know, we stay in our own beds and sleep here and just do our normal routines. Nothing's out of the ordinary until we hit the media sessions next week. But everything else, just to be able to stay in your routine, sleep in your bed and all that stuff is I think it's huge advantage.
Except that the Chiefs are also going to stay home until the day before the game. A rare Yankees-Red Sox trade as the Yanks try to get under the luxury tax level. Reliever Adam Ottavino dealt to Boston. The 2022 PGA Championship, taken away from the Trump course in New Jersey, will instead be played in Tulsa. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Already a very busy morning, I can imagine, for you, Dave, with all the earnings crossing the Bloomberg terminal.
Oh, absolutely, Nathan. I mean, today will be the busiest day of fourth quarter earnings season for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. 4 companies will report results before the opening bell, and Microsoft will deliver its fiscal second quarter figures after the close. Now, 2 of the 4 reports are already out. You have one from Johnson & Johnson, and those shares are up a bit more than 1% in early trading. J&J's fourth quarter earnings and revenue beating analysts' average estimates in a Bloomberg survey. J&J's earnings forecast for this year above projections. Also, the company's saying it will share study data from the final stage testing of its COVID-19 vaccine soon. So watch out for that. And 3M's higher by 2.5%. The industrial company reporting fourth quarter results that beat estimates as well. We're also due to get results from American Express and Verizon within the next hour. Those shares a little changed. General Electric, though, up 5%. GE predicted its industrial units would generate as much as $4.5 billion of cash after capital expenses this year. Now, the free cash flow forecast beat estimates. You've got D.R. Horton higher as well. The home builders' earnings and revenue for the fiscal first quarter were well above estimates. We'll have results in the next hour or so from a couple of defense contractors. Lockheed Martin, which is up 0.5% in early trading, and Raytheon Technologies, whose shares are little changed. Apollo Global up 5.5%. founder Leon Black's preferred partner, Mark Rowan, was named to succeed him as the private equity firm's CEO. The move was made after the board revealed Black had paid $158 million to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Black will remain as Apollo's chairman. You have Etsy up 6.5% after Tesla's founder and CEO Elon Musk touted the online crafts marketplace in a tweet. Musk wrote, and I'm quoting here, "I kind of love Etsy." You know what else investors love, Nathan? GameStop, the video game retailer, up 16% in early trading after surging more than fourfold in the past 10 trading days. And yesterday, you saw volatility like you almost never see in a stock. GameStop at one point was up as much as 145%.
Heaven's sakes.
Yeah, closed with a gain of just 18%.
Yeah, you have earnings moving shares and social media. What a time. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always for this. And taking a look at stocks as a whole this morning, seeing mixed action in futures contracts. Right now, S&P futures are down 2 points. Dow futures up 23, adding to gains after those GE and 3M earnings. NASDAQ futures lower by 22 points. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield just shy of 1.05%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, winter weather advisory, 7 to midnight, up to an inch of light snow, changes to rain this afternoon, highs near 35, partly to mostly cloudy near 40 tomorrow, morning snow Thursday, then mostly sunny, breezy, low 30s, 33 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We continue to see some improvement in U.S. stock index futures, and shares of GE continue to rise following its earnings release. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are mixed right now. And like you said, amid a busy day for earnings, Dow futures currently up 51 points. S&P's gained a point. NASDAQ futures are still down by 10. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.05%. Gold is little changed. Shanghai fell 1.5% overnight, while European markets are in the green, led by 1.4% gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence and Richmond Fed. Regarding those earnings, GE was mixed, and 3M and J&J both beat estimates. And in other news, GameStop is up 16% in the pre-market after yesterday's wild session. Wrapping things up, DraftKings was raised to buy at Goldman Sachs. Carnival cut to reduce at HSBC. BlackBerry cut to underperform at RBC. And Bed Bath & Beyond cut to market perform over at Raymond James. Live from the First Republican News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the House impeachment case against Donald Trump has been delivered to the Senate for his upcoming trial. House Democratic prosecutors made the ceremonial walk across the Capitol late last night to deliver the charge of incitement of insurrection. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell said he is dropping a key demand and is ready to move toward a power-sharing agreement after two Democratic senators pledged they won't vote to do away with the filibuster. Twitter permanently banned MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell after persistently tweeting unproven claims Donald Trump was the real winner of the presidential race. In the NBA, the Nets, Celtics, and Warriors all won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
M&A binge risks a painful debt hangover. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. So much for the great corporate deleveraging. This year was supposed to mark a return to balance sheet prudence after U.S. companies piled on an unprecedented amount of cheap debt to weather the COVID-19 pandemic. Instead, though, CEOs have greeted 2021 by indulging in mergers and acquisitions, pushing back timelines to reduce their debt loads. Just weeks into the new year, some $150 billion of M&A transactions have been announced, a more than 50% increase from the same period of 2020. The vast majority of them are being paid for at least partially with cash. That is to say, raising money through the debt markets or using funds that could otherwise be used to lessen liabilities. It will put a definitive end to the notion that CEOs care about having a top credit rating or a pristine balance sheet. With borrowing costs this low, and with the Federal Reserve proving that it will step in to prevent a credit collapse, avoiding leverage is seen as a fool's game. But it's dangerous to bet that companies can go on an M&A spree so soon after the debt binge without some of them suffering a hangover. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI on Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI on Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include a power-sharing agreement in the Senate with Republican leader Mitch McConnell backing off on demands around the filibuster. Janet Yellen takes charge of the Treasury with the economic rebound weakening. And former President Donald Trump opens an office to carry on his administration's agenda. Also making news, the Senate begins former President Trump's impeachment trial, then puts it on hold for cabinet confirmations. Let's get more now from Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. So, Kate, we all saw the House walk the second impeachment article against former President Trump over to the Senate last night, but the trial doesn't begin in earnest for another 2 weeks.
That's right. And so I think that, you know, this is where we've ended up when it comes to how the impeachment trial is going to unfold. I think that the ultimate thinking was perhaps that given the level, the temperature and the level of you know, discord that had been reached at the end of President Trump's term, that perhaps there's a value in sort of letting things cool for a moment. I think certainly politically there's an advantage to Republicans to that. And then I think on the Democratic side, I think they feel like it may help them, you know, provide a little bit of time to get Joe Biden's cabinet nominees through, to perhaps even do some work on the stimulus measure that he's proposed. And so I think that's the calculus that we're seeing on both sides.
Yeah. In Washington, 2 weeks really is a little bit of time, as you put it. Is it going to be enough time to get some of those key Biden agenda items moved forward?
Well, you know, we are seeing progress. We saw, you know, Janet Yellen confirmed as cabinet as a Treasury Secretary, a prominent member of the cabinet yesterday. There's a vote scheduled for today on Anthony Blinken's nomination to be Secretary of State. So we are seeing progress on some of these cabinet nominations. You know, going forward, I think the big question is whether there's going to be the potential for progress on stimulus. And I think that's a bigger question or a more open question. One of the things that it sounds like it's being discussed is, you know, the possibility of breaking up the $1.9 trillion proposal that Joe Biden has put forth into smaller chunks. That might be something that is more digestible to Republicans. So certainly something to watch in terms of how that might work.
Yeah, we heard from President Biden yesterday saying he is willing to negotiate, but isn't sure how much he wants to cherry pick out. What could he be signaling as far as what he's willing to live with in terms of the $1.9 trillion stimulus?
Well, I thought it was interesting. First of all, you know, it's almost like even just the top line, Republicans are saying that, you know, there's a sticker shock element of $1.9 trillion. It's a lot of money, but, you know, it's almost like buying something for $9.99. It's just under that $2 trillion number. But I think that, so I think that is certainly deliberate, but I think that, you know, the bigger pieces, the things that Biden would want to do that might have more appeal to the liberal wing of the party, like raising the minimum wage, are going to be bigger non-starters and probably won't get done in the first tranche, at least, than things like, you know, providing direct funding, you know, to help with the virus itself and, you know, testing and vaccine distribution. Those types of things are probably going to get more support.
All right. Looking ahead to what's on President Biden's plate today, we hear he's going to be making some remarks regarding his racial equity plan. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we're certainly going to find out more today. But obviously, you know, given the events of the past year, you know, making some progress on the federal level and these questions of racial equity is something that Biden was pressed about during the campaign and talked a lot about. You know, we obviously saw the George Floyd protests last summer. The Black Lives Matter movement was a huge movement by all accounts. You know, some of the energy behind that helped propel Biden to the White House. And so I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see. He's talked before about the need to address structural racism that exists in the United States. It'll be interesting to see what strategies he comes up with for doing that and how hard he's willing to push them.
Now, we also saw a report in The Washington Post just moments ago that President Biden could take executive action to reopen the Obamacare insurance marketplaces.
Yeah, it sounds like from the Post reporting that could come as soon as Thursday. And that's going to be kind of the first big move that we would see from Biden on, you know, the issue of health insurance. And obviously, it's a very salient one at the moment, given the coronavirus pandemic and the continued challenges that, you know, poses to many Americans. You know, obviously it's important to note as context that Biden was extremely instrumental in helping to pass the Affordable Care Act during Barack Obama's term as his vice president. And so I think that, you know, certainly taking some steps at, you know, at bolstering that law and using that law to help battle the pandemic makes a lot of sense for the Biden administration.
And finally, in our last minute here, former President Trump, as he gears up for this second impeachment trial, is also making clear that he plans to be part of the political conversation going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that people anticipated. But, you know, now we're beginning to see that, you know, it's obviously coming on the heels of his former press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, announcing yesterday that she was going to be running in the Republican primary for Arizona governor. You know, we hear from the president, you know, talk about, you know, working with candidates in Arizona and other places now, or the, I'm sorry, former president, working with candidates in Arizona and other places now. And so I think that, you know, people anticipated that Trump would not necessarily be disappearing from the national political stage just because he was leaving the White House. He made that pretty clear. That was not his intention. And now we're starting to see that come to fruition.
Now, with this office of the former president just announced by former President Trump yesterday, Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. President Biden may be boosting his goal for coronavirus vaccinations in his first 100 days in office. He suggested the nation could soon be injecting 1.5 million shots on an average per day. Biden signaled his increasing bullishness on the pace of vaccinations after signing an executive order to boost government purchases from U.S. manufacturers. Twitter is enlisting its users to help combat misinformation on its service by flagging and notating misleading and false tweets. The new product called Birdwatch is being tested in the U.S., and user-generated notes about misleading tweets will exist on a separate website. Those who want to sign up must have a U.S.-based phone carrier, verified email and phone number, and no recent Twitter rule violations. And Harvard and Yale are among the universities whose multi-billion-dollar endowments have been buying cryptocurrency. According to a report in CoinDesk, most have been buying digital currency for at least a year. The biggest of those currencies, Bitcoin, rose fourfold in 2020 and gained even more to start this year. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. We continue to watch shares of General Electric up more than 7.5% in the early trade after it released earnings this morning. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.